Yes, sir.
I'm wondering if you could talk about sort of the either or and then the both and with regards to affirmative action in higher education. I mean, it seems like the right. either or is fairly clear.
Right.
You know, one side talking about
right.
Facially equal opportunity and merit, and
right.
the idea that, well, diversity doesn't matter if because someone gets in, I don't get into college.
It's not fair.
The other side saying that, you know, diversity is either good for the community as a whole, or because subcultures have a right to practice these cultures within the college framework, or that equal opportunity really is an equal opportunity.
Right. You know, affirmative action is a knotty problem, but my sense is not only my sense. I mean, I practice civil rights law and teach constitutional law, so some of this sense is grounded in experience. Affirmative action is more important symbolically in some ways than it is as a practical matter. First of all, affirmative action does not function once you get out of college, unless you are in a very narrow range of government jobs. I mean, I think that sometimes, because of the debate surrounding affirmative action in higher education, there's this perception that the whole world is, you know, that black folks or Latinos really have an advantage out there. And, you know, let me assure you that it's not the case. If you walk into the average corporation, whether it's Minneapolis or in Chicago, now Chicago, the metropolitan area, is about 30 to 40% black, and if you go into any major office building, you will not see more than 5% black people in there, and most of them are secretaries, receptionists, and delivery people. So one thing to understand is that affirmative action works fairly narrowly, relatively small margin of the population. Once you take that as a fact, then potentially there are some areas of compromise. Let me give you an example. I would suggest that if those who are vehemently opposed to affirmative action came to the African-American community or the Latino community or other minority communities or low-income communities, and they said, you know what, we will eliminate affirmative action because we don't think that that jibes with our general sense of meritocracy. But only after we have, number one, fully funded the EEOC and made sure that anti-discrimination enforcement is actually in place, because it turns out that, in fact, the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which monitors a lot of this stuff, does a miserable job because it's been starved for funding by Congress, so that it is almost impossible for you to win a lawsuit. I have had individuals who have been called nigger by the CEO of a Fortune 500 company in front of the entire office and had their cases thrown out because the standards are so high and there's so little government enforcement of anti-discrimination principles. So number one, we're going to enforce anti-discrimination to the hilt. That is simply not acceptable, and we are going to meaningfully enforce that, number one. Number two, we will significantly invest in education and job training and skills training in such a way that it is easier for minorities to compete in both the educational system and in the job market. That if that was how the conversation was initiated, it doesn't mean that there wouldn't be controversies and debate, but at least we would now have created a space for a serious conversation, right? But the problem, of course, is opponents of affirmative action don't lead with that. What they say is, we're going to eliminate affirmative action because, in fact, there's no racism out here, or that's not a problem, or maybe it is a problem, but it's not anything that we can do anything about. And so the minority community naturally sort of says, well, so why am I going to give up the one little thing that we got? That makes no sense. So there is an example of a both-and mentality. The notion would be an acknowledgement on the part of the proponents of affirmative action that there are some legitimate grievances from the majority community in any sort form of affirmative action program by definition, right? That some individuals may be marginally harmed, although I would emphasize that it tends to be a marginal harm, but maybe marginally harmed by the operation of affirmative action. That recognition is important to engage in the conversation, but on the other side, there would have to be an equally powerful recognition that something needs to be done to, in fact, enhance equal opportunity in our society. And my suspicion is that until you, and maybe, you know, we'll start seeing this from quote-unquote compassionate conservatives like George W. Bush or other some other folks. If you start getting a Nixon going to China situation where there are some conservatives who are willing to acknowledge these problems and talk about them in a serious manner, then I think that you will probably end up seeing some movement on this issue. Yeah.
You mentioned that churches are a very efficient means of community organization, but if churches are losing their drive and their influence in communities, how do you see from there? Do you see other institutions replacing the church's power?
You know, the in the African American community in particular, and also in the Latino community in general, they tend to be higher churched than the majority, right? I mean, the communities that are really losing, where the churches are really losing influence, tend to be in middle class and upper middle class communities. And so I don't see any other institution that holds as powerful a sway as, you know, the traditional Baptist or AME church in the black community and the Catholic church in the Latino community. There are other mediating institutions, though, that we have to think about. I personally think, for example, that it is not a healthy thing for our civic life that unions have become so beaten down. Not because I'm always pro-union in terms of how they function. For example, in Chicago, the teachers' union needs to do some work to get out in front of change as opposed to being a barrier to change. Nevertheless, I think historically unions were powerful institutions for positive change in the society. I mean, unions were one of the major engines behind the civil rights movement. They were major behind issues of workplace safety that everybody benefited from, not just unions. So I would like to see a restoration of unions to a rightful place in the workplace. I think the only way unions can do that, though, is not to simply focus on issues of wages and benefits. I think they have to take into account more complex issues about childcare and healthcare, and they have to think about the people who are unemployed and not only the people who are already in the union, right? They've got to engage in organizing drives. So part of the problem is that the union movement has been fairly myopic, and I think it's starting to open itself up to thinking more broadly, and it also has to take into account competitiveness. I mean, we do live in a different economic era, and so unions may need to think about, you know, how do we tie our own benefits and wages to performance of a corporation and think of ourselves as shareholders in that company as opposed to simply employees. So that would be one example of mediating institutions. I think that community development corporations are another example. Many of them are housed in churches, but they're starting to do interesting things separate and apart from churches, and I think they end up becoming powerful institutions. You're starting to see a lot of other non-for-profit organizations taking a more activist role. Foundations, for example, you know, I sit on the boards of a number of foundations that I think historically thought in terms of charity. You know, we'll, you know, give money to the soup kitchen or the food drive or what have you, but are now are thinking more structurally and institutionally about what can be done in these communities to impact, for example, job growth in these communities. I think those are all positive things. Okay. I think we're running out of time and people have class. I want to thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate it.